Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Tuesday, the 15th of December. Hope you're all well. We've got a really busy midweek programme. Busiest one of the season so far. I think I processed 109 fixtures this morning over the next 3 days. Plenty to get teeth into. Ultimate, I've just done all that and sent it to you, and I've sent an email in there. I won't list it all on here, but it's got the Christmas arrangements in it. I've put them on Twitter, I've put them in the Telegram group, but just so you're aware of what's going on, because the football does come thick and fast over the next couple of weeks. I can't remember what I was talking about the other day. Oh, I was talking about the Trump thing with evidence, and a couple of people sort of, I don't know whether they were just showing dismay at the email or doubting that I get emails like this. I do get a load of shit. It's unbelievable. You wouldn't believe the shit that I get. And obviously, I probably invite someone with the stuff I talk about. And somebody sort of said, why would somebody send that? That's one of the great unknowns, isn't it? People like to involve themselves and think that they know more than anybody else. I think that's just a human trait. Or they want to be more important than other people. I go back to, I think a guy, I can't remember his name, Wacker, I think it was, who posted false screenshots, Betfair screenshots on Twitter, and made out he was having massive big bets, and somebody exposed it for it being complete and utter nonsense. And my only real thought was, why would you do that? It wasn't, oh, what a wank. I didn't even, you know, a load of people piled it. I just thought, why would you do that? What's your mindset that you get up in the morning and think, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to create a load of fake bets. And this is the same sort of thing. People want to feel that they know more, and that's why, you know, that's why forums end up being cesspits and this, that and the other. You get people fall into certain camps, don't they? And you get people who love bad news. So if you post something like, oh, I see Ian at FTS got a slagging on XYZ forum, there'll be a group of people who just think, oh, well, no problem. There'll be me who thinks so. There'll be others who've got to rush off and know what it's about. What's that about? Then I've got to know, what's this bad news? What's this grief? Let me get involved. Then you get people who want to portray they're better than they are. It's just human nature. But, I mean, I've had it topped. I've had a text yesterday, a text from somebody I don't even know. I think I told the story of a guy, I got a really nice guy, and he is a really, I really like him, really nice guy from Norway, who was a member of FTS. And yeah, I actually exchanged emails with him because he was busy in some music. So he sort of stopped betting and he'd got quite busy in his job doing some music stuff. But he contacted me a couple of years back and said, could he come over and see me? He was coming over to London. Could I meet up with him? And I think I told the story. I went to see him on the Friday. He stayed in the hotel at Stratford. And I just had to stop there for a minute and just had somebody knock. So he came over. He stayed in the hotel at Stratford. We met on the Friday. He flew over from Norway. He said, I've got some betting stuff to show you. I went up to see him in Norway in Stratford on the Friday afternoon. That's where he was staying. And he'd arrived on the Thursday and been in the casino the night before and said he'd done quite well at the roulette. So I, you know, didn't think anything of it. We chatted a bit of football and then we arranged to meet again the following day. And I said, I'll bring Sam up. There's a big shopping centre there. We can have a chat and a beer. She can go round and do a bit of shopping. So we got up there, Sam and I, and I said, come in and meet him. We went in the hotel, ordered a coffee. I was meant to meet him, I think it was like midday, and he never turned up. Sat there for an hour. Sam said, I've had enough of this. She went off shopping. I sat there and I started getting worried about it. I thought, if he's gone in the casino again and won a few quid, anything could have happened. Somebody could have seen him win it, you know, get paid out in cash and flipping banged him on the head. I went up to the check-in desk and they wouldn't call his room. They said they can't. They had to wait till the checkout time, whatever it was, 2-3 o'clock. So I sat there and sat there. Texting him, no reply, really getting really worried. And anyway, he turned out he'd been to the casino the night before and he'd picked up a woman and decided that spending the night and day with her was better than seeing me, and that's the bottom line. And texted me really apologetically, telling me about his prowess that day. But a really nice guy. Anyway, I've not seen him since. He's gone off. We've exchanged a few emails. I get a text yesterday at 12:53, foreign number, did you bet on Trump, odds 34. I have connections. He will be next president. Betfair have closed my account when I increased exposure from 6,000 to 9,000. All bet on Trump. Ask for papers. Any danger? Danger's in capital letters. Regards, Harold. And says he's a friend of this guy in Norway. What's all that about? What is all that about? Betfair closed my account. He will be next president. I have connections. So now we got a guy in Norway who's got connections. Forget the Electoral College last night. Harold in Norway. He's had his Betfair account closed. And I think they have closed a few for people loaded up on that market. 1.6 odd billion, I think it's suspended at last night. Which, by the way, is 800 million odd match, not 1.6 billion. Every people need to understand how Betfair works. When you put £2 on, it comes up as £4 matched. Because they do it as £2 on the backside, £2 on the lay side. But yeah, so Harold in Norway has got connections. I don't know why you'd feel, why would you text that to somebody you don't know? I have absolutely no idea. I don't know what he expects me to say on it. I mean, I don't know that. Ask for papers, any danger? I don't even know what that means. So I don't make this shit up. I don't need to make it up. I get, there's plenty of fucking crackpots and nut jobs out there to keep me going for years. Don't worry about it. Right, it's Christmas time. I see this morning that the British Medical Journal and somebody else, who I can't remember, the NHS, something to do with the NHS, might be the GP Society or whatever, are now calling for a cancellation of Christmas. Who knows? I mean, we've got a new virus, apparently. Does that new strain of virus he talked about yesterday, does that mean that the vaccine's now done? I gave up on reading about it. You just depress yourselves. I thought, just when they tell me I can go out, then we'll go out. Too busy with stuff anyway. But I did see that there's a new strain of the virus. That would be fun, wouldn't it? If that vaccine doesn't solve that, then we're in all sorts, aren't we? But yeah, they're calling on cancelling Christmas. I know, what's my view on it? I'm going to tell you. My view on it is, if you tried to cancel Christmas, is people are going to do it anyway. So I think you're probably better to try and have some rules in place that people then have got some guidance to adhere to. I think if you turned around now and said Christmas is cancelled, you're just going to have people who've bought food and made arrangements, booked travel, they're going to do it anyway. And you've got no control. At least people are conscious of what they're doing now. But it's a shambles of a year, isn't it? It is an absolute shambles of a year. Rest in peace, Gerard Houllier. See, I don't hate all Liverpool there. Rest in peace. Always seemed like a very decent, genuine individual. He did. I liked him, actually. He's a good lad. All right, I've got connections. I have connections. He will be the next president. I don't know how this is going to work. Be some turnaround. If he gets together with the guy in the Midlands with the evidence, we got the flipping game cracked, haven't we? Some good stuff back from yesterday's pod. Because I don't script them genuinely, I don't, when I'm talking, I'm just talking, and then I think, did I make any sense there? But clearly I did, so that's good. And we'll, as I say, we'll keep going with them. It is, that for me, is the battle. It is the mental side of it, and we will get through it. I feel more than this year, and I think probably because we've had a few new people. I think probably because of COVID and people looking to find excuses. I feel I've been a lot more of a counsellor the last 2 months, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, but, you know, I speak to these people and I think, am I unique? Which I genuinely don't think I am. I genuinely don't. I still think anybody can do it. I just think it's all about setup and pushing on. And having that own Telegram chat has given, because I never went in chat rooms and forums, and I genuinely never did, very, very rarely. We had a forum on FTS years back, which I used to. The current forum, I only ever go in it if Art says to me, I think there's something there you need to read, which is probably 3-4 times a year. But the chat obviously pops up on my phone because I've got to have it on for the stuff I send. And it just gives me a real insight into people. I do love that side of it. I love knowing what makes people tick in just in life in general. I love just what I'm quite a people observer. I like to know what makes people tick, why people do things, why people act in certain ways. And that's sort of why I'm obsessed with people like Trump and that, because I just find him such an odd character. But the ability he's got to make other people fall in line, just stuff like that fascinates me, to the point of almost obsession. But I am slightly weird myself. What we got? Potatoes. That's where we are. We're doing Christmas, aren't we? I've nearly forgot. I was talking about the medical bit of Christmas was meant to lead into the potatoes. Right, we are going to give you the full Christmas dinner right through till probably the weekend, early part of next week. So you're all set to go. And we're going to start with no Christmas dinner is complete unless you can do proper roast potatoes. And if you're not doing them like this, you can email me. Don't at me. You're doing it wrong. The first thing is buy some decent potatoes, not your supermarket shite. Get some decent King Edwards, Yukon Gold. Google Yukon Gold and buy them. They make the best roast potatoes you can buy. Yukon Gold potatoes, absolutely fantastic. That's the first thing. Second thing is they must be parboiled. Anybody putting them straight in the oven, have a word with yourself. You've got to parboil your potatoes. So boiling water, plenty of boiling water. Make sure there's not just covered. Make sure there's a good pan, plenty of boiling water, plenty of salt. Give it a good seasoning. Parboil, bring them to the boil, boil them for 5 minutes. Strain them, let them dry, and dry the pan, because you're going to put them back in the pan in a minute. Whilst they're drying, get your baking pan ready, and depending on how many people you're feeding, you might need to do two trays, but you've got to have enough space to space them out. So like we've got 9, I will use 2 or 3 trays, so I've got air all around every potato, none of them touching, they just become a mush. Then you want them going crispy, so however many trays you need, and you can get your trays and lay them out first and check that that's room, so you've got them all there and there's not going to be any all touching and all mashed in together. Plenty of space. And anybody who says, oh, I haven't got big enough oven, I cooked a Christmas dinner when we first moved up from the southwest. I cooked a Christmas dinner for 14 people in one oven, so it can be done. Get your trays right, goose fat or duck fat, nothing else. Goose fat or duck fat, none of this flipping vegetable oil or olive oil. Goose fat or duck fat in while the potatoes are drying, get that in the oven. And get it hot, and I mean smoking hot, not flipping in for a minute, smoking hot. Right, when the potatoes are dried off, put them back in your saucepan that you cooked them in, which is now dry as well. I always just put it on a blank cob and dry it out that way. Potatoes in there, plenty of salt, and then the key ingredient, semolina. Get yourself, I think it's Whitworth's packaged semolina, get some of that. Good couple of tablespoons in over your potatoes, and then give them a damn good shake. If you want to do them in a couple of batches, if you're doing for a load of people, do them in a couple of batches. Damn good shake. So you bash the edges up, you coat them in salt, you coat them in semolina. When they're done, take them out. Take the trays out. Use a pair of tongs. Place your potatoes in the oil there with the tongs, if you've got them, or gently with a spoon. You don't want to throw them in and hot fat splashes everywhere. There, get a brush and brush then the rest of the potato with some of the hot oil. Back in the oven. Don't touch them for the first 15 minutes. Don't keep looking. Are they doing 15 minutes in? You will get a beautiful. The side in the oil will get beautiful and crispy. Out. Spin them round again. Another 15 minutes. There. 3 spins should be about 45 minutes. You will have nice, crispy, beautiful roast potatoes at about 200 degrees. I tend to leave mine in a little bit longer because my family like them really crispy. But that's the key ingredient. Decent potatoes. Salted water to boil and parboil them. Dry them properly. Semolina and salt in with your potatoes and smash them about. Into a pan of hot goose fat or duck fat, none of that other garbage that people use. Take them out in a bowl with some kitchen towel, strain them, dry them off a bit. You will have beautiful crispy potatoes. I always make boatloads so that we can use them in Bubble and Squeak the following day. You do not use mash for Bubble and Squeak. Anybody using mash for Bubble and Squeak, honestly, go and find a corner, headbutt the wall 4 or 5 times. Really give yourself a bollocking. Bubble and Squeak is made with roast potatoes. It is not made with mash. You might as well just fucking fuck it all off out the window. Make it with roast potatoes. I if I've not got enough left over, I get up on Boxing Day. The first thing I do is roast some more potatoes and let them cool down, ready to make the Bubble and Squeak. You do not make it with mash. It's just lazy. Can't be doing with laziness. Right, so that's that. That's your potatoes now. Write it down. I'm promising you they'll be the best potatoes you've ever had. And if you can get some Yukon Golds, absolutely superb. Yukon Golds are by far the best roasting potato on the market. Right, that's it. We've done your spuds. Tomorrow we'll do some people, everyone's favourite, sprouts. See, save all these. This is a world of knowledge we're in here, isn't it? An absolute world of knowledge. I've just started walking the dog again as well. I've said this book before and I'm listening to it on Audible now. Kingpin, absolutely brilliant book. I'm absolutely loving it. I'm staying out with the dog longer because I'm listening to the... I don't want the book to end. Kingpin, it's the story of a drug dealer. But a really, really good book. I did mention it back in the first lockdown. What's the actual full title of it? And I'll just get me Audible up. American Kingpin by Nick Bilton. Absolutely superb it is. I'm loving it. I'm just walking around the fields listening to that while the dog's sniffing about. It's great fun. Right, I've got some football for you as well. Let me just get that out. Let me just get that. As always, haven't got it ready. It is in here. Ultimate members, I deleted somebody. I know someone always emails me and says, oh, there's a game missing. The Eupen game in Belgium didn't go ahead. I've deleted it. And there was a Belgian game tonight, Beerschot Wilgic or whatever they're called. And that's been postponed. I think with the way this corona is spreading, we're probably going to see a few more postponements. It's interesting, isn't it, that they can't have 5 or 3 households mixing, but 2,000 people can head to a football ground. I don't really get it all at the minute, I'll be honest. Right, first half goal, late first half goal tonight, Bristol City, Millwall, a late first half goal, Bristol City, Millwall, so if 0-0, sort of 20, 25 minutes in, then lay a first half goal, and... a late second half goal. So if whatever the score is at half time, providing it's not 4x or x4, if there hasn't been a goal in the second half by the 70th minute at Nottingham Forest versus Sheffield Wednesday, then drip lay the current score. So if it was 1-0, you drip lay 1-0 or under 1.5 goals. I use the goal markets just because generally there's probably a bit more liquidity and you get your money released quicker. So Forest Sheffield Wednesday 70 minutes onwards if there hasn't been a second half goal, and Bristol City Millwall for a late first half goal 25 minutes or so onwards should get a decent price for that. That's it. Enjoy your Tuesday. Big game tomorrow, isn't it? Top of the table clash, big game tomorrow, first against second. That's what it is, not joint top business. It is first against second. I love it, just love it if we beat them. Right, enjoy your Tuesday, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. Get a pen, write that flipping potatoes down. Do it properly.